Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I want to get my co-host on the line, and I'm waiting for a few other people to call in today. One moment, let me get him on the line. But before we do that, we're going to play our song. We got about a week and a half more left of this, and then we're going to get into some other things. Here we go.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful today. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good for old man.
Oh, come on. You're not old. Ain't nothing old on you. No, I know you're only as old as you feel.
Well, you know, it's always good to hear somebody that is not my age be able to say that. Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I'm not just
hey, some days you're good and age you ain't. That's all that. You know, that's how it worked, man, at my age.
That's the truth. That's the truth. We still wait on a few people to call in, although we have quite a few people on the line right now. How's your week been going?
Everything's been pretty good. You know, I'm the Almighty's always been good to me. I stay prayed up, and I pray that everybody else is in the same position, that they're safe, and you know that that the Almighty is continuously to watch over them and guide them.
Hallelujah! Wow.
How's your week been?
It's been going pretty good. You know, no complaints at all. All things be well considered.
Yeah.
I've just been doing a lot of thinking, and I'm a thinker, so I'm always thinking about, you know, and trying to figure out, you know, the status of our people. And I almost caught myself getting sad this week, you know, because it's a lot of people in the dark. You know that? It's a lot of people with their eyes closed. A lot of people.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I, you know, sometimes, you know, it brings tears to my eyes, you understand, to see how, you know, that we're, you know, we're just stuck on stupid here. You understand? We don't want to make no changes, or we don't even want to help in our own progress. You understand? So, you know, it brings tears to my eyes for joy also, because I know that the Almighty, you understand, is with us. You understand? And he gonna make a way for us. You understand? It's just that, you know, we need to do something for our own self. And, you know, I hear too much about people, you know, understand, they're just sitting back and waiting. I just don't get that. I'm not too keen on that. You feel more comfortable when you're doing something, you understand, that you know that's going to help. You understand? You know, our circumstances, our situations. We have to take charge of our own life, you understand? We can't depend on nobody else, you understand? The Almighty will be with us if we do something. I mean, he's already with us, but I think that he will make an extra effort if we see that we're making an extra effort, you understand? So, you know, it kind of brings tears to my eyes in both ways.
Right. I understand that. understand. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, you know what I tell myself when I get like that? I have to always remind myself that we have to remember slavery, and we have to remember where we came from slavery, because we're not being treated like animals anymore, but we're not being treated like equals either. But that's okay. Because, you know why that's okay is because we have to realize that anytime the Most High, and it would be different if it was Satan or if it was Lucifer or if it was the demons or it was a witch or a warlock that imposed a curse on you that could be broken. But anytime the Most High put you under a curse and they've had 400 years to perpetuate lie after lie after lie after lie, and then psychologically and mentally beat down the people for 400 years, you almost have to pray for them, because they really don't have the necessary tools that's necessary to stand up. And the fact that there's a few of us that are willing to stand up is powerful all by itself. But the majority, they've just been beat down psychologically to the point where, you know, their philosophy is this: is it going to make me some money? Because if it ain't going to make me no money, I don't want to know nothing about it, because I don't want to hear it. Because right now I need money to survive. And the system has been set up like that, so you almost have to pray for them.
Yeah, you know, I was telling my sister-in-law the other day is that, when we come to our senses is when they start taking them groceries away. You understand? When they cut them programs out, you understand, when we don't have them things to lean on. Then we're going to start realizing the need for us to come together. Other than that, man, we're just going to drag our feet, you understand? And you see, we got a lot of excuses, you understand? Mm-hmm. Excuses is not enough anymore, you understand? Because them people don't care nothing about us, man, at all, period. You understand? You know how what it says in Psalms 83 is that they derived the plan so that we never be recognized again. You understand? You know, so, but I, you know, I also know that the Almighty is great, man. I'm talking about, yes, man, you know, even like in my little meager life, you understand, he's
but
been
that's
tremendous.
What the beautiful part about it is, let me tell you what the beautiful part about it is. Irregardless to what they've done.
Irregardless?
Irregardless of what they're trying to do, one day the Most High is going to lift the curse. He is going to wake up a giant. I mean, because you're talking about a nation of people all over the world. He's going to wake up a people and identify them. Now, even though Ezekiel 37 says that when they wake up, they're going to say, we are sorely, and our hope is gone. They're going to realize this they've fallen from. He's still going to wake them up, and that's going to be the beginning of the restoration. You know, that's what we have a hope to know. I was thinking about Psalms 83 myself this week on how everybody in there, every nation that was named in there has gone out of their way to perpetuate the lie and to support the imposters. So they can perpetuate the lie. But at the same time, it does not matter, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what they do or how they go about doing it, we're still going to wake up one day, and we're going to wake up and realize that we are the Hebrew Israelites, and that's going to stop the show. We're going to come together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we're fragmented anymore, and the only reason why we're fragmented now is because there are people, leaders, and I'm going to say this, and I know I'm going to get in trouble, but I'm going to say it anyway. There are leaders that have been out there poisoning the minds of our people to keep people distracted and to keep people separated. And the Most High does not allow for that to happen, because we've got to come together as a nation. I'll say it again. We're leaving as a nation. We came as a nation, and we're leaving as a nation. So, I mean, you know, the fact that you and I are even on this phone together co-hosting this show is a miracle. It's a blessing. And it shows that at the end of the day, love is what has to fuel this thing.
Yeah.
It can't be hatred. It can't be contentment. It can't be deliberate sabotage. It can't be any of that. It has to be love that fuels it, because we've been beat up enough.
Yeah. Yeah, we've been beat down, man. You know, and see, that's the part where that gets me is that we don't see how we've been that those things had in order for us to get this far, it had to have people in place. You understand what I'm saying? To keep us from being totally annihilated. You understand? Mm-hmm. Even though those same people that were put in place, we may not agree with everything that they done or everything that they do or who they are. You understand? It was set up by the Almighty that they be in place so that we could be sustained until this day and time. Now I say this a lot, man, and is that we were salvaged, you understand, so that we could get something started as Israelites ourselves. The reason I say that is because all the other nations, all the other peoples that were put in place before, they were not Israel per se. You understand? I'm not talking about they didn't recognize who they are. You understand? So it was not going to be set up in the name of the Almighty. It was going to be set up, you understand, for civil rights. You understand? And those and all of those things. You understand? But now we don't have none of those martyrs and those people that's in place. You understand? So it's left on us to make a effort. You understand? Now, when the masses, and I don't mean all of the masses, because I was listening to Pow Talk, and one of the teachers in Israel was talking about how it's only going to be 10% of those of the gross population. That's even going to recognize, you understand, our circumstances, our situations, and be willing to do something. You understand? It's only going to be 10%. You understand? So though we may be sands of the sea or stars of the as many as the stars of the sky, it's only going to be 10% of those folks. You understand? And the thing that bothers me is that why do we have to wait till the last minute? That's what really gets me. You understand? Why we can't just set up a movement, you understand, amongst our folks, you understand, so that we could have something in place for when these people decide to make some kind of move, you understand, or they can jump on, or when their eyes become open, you understand, to see our circumstances, you understand, we have to have something, you understand, for them people to grasp hold to.
And we are, and that's what we're doing. We're doing that right now by putting together the things that we're putting together in spite of. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't like that. I don't like when leaders get on in front of the masses and say it's only going to be 10%. And if I was there, I'd have asked them, you show me that in the Word. Because you don't have a right to put a number. If the Most High said we are the sands of the sea, and we don't know what the remnant is going to be. And those are the things that I'm talking about right there that puts, when you say stuff in people's mind, it implants things in people's minds. And I'm saying this because we have so many leaders out there that are sabotaging the movement because you give them a mic and you give them a street corner or you give them a Pow Talk show or you give them a conference call and they start poisoning the minds of the Most High people. And the Most High is going to get you for that because you show me in the Word where it says 10%. Because don't say anything. I was always taught, don't say nothing you can't back up. So if that's your opinion, then you need to say, in my opinion, I think it's only going to be 10%. But you don't have, nobody has the right to put a number on how many people it's going to be or who even is going to make it or who's not. That's why I don't allow confusion on the radio show. I don't allow people to come on because I was told that there were people of the Messianic group that wanted to sabotage the show because they wanted to come on the show and sabotage it with the non-Messianics. And like I told them, you're not going to do that because that's not what I was mandated to do. I'm not here to cause division. I'm here to bring unity and love between our brothers and sisters. And if you can't do that, then that means you're of the enemy. So it doesn't matter whether you are moray, it doesn't matter whether you are Kohan, it doesn't matter what you are. If what's coming out of your mouth is negative, you are of the enemy. And we have to identify it and keep it moving because we can't afford to let anybody poison what we think. We got to move straight ahead, and what we're doing is gathering our people. And like I said, bloodline is what matters. So you got to, these people got to be careful with what comes out of their mouths.
Well, I'm sure. I'm not certain. I'm not certain that, the brother had did mention, he mentioned 10%. You understand? But I'm not certain that he meant, you meant that to be the number that he used that number, not necessarily the 10%. He used the word 10%, but I'm not sure that he meant 10%. I'm sure that he meant that it's going to be a remnant of folks that really come together and get their act in order. You understand that because I think he was just making a figure, not necessarily that figure has to stand. You understand? But I'm not sure about that. See, so I don't know. I was just saying what I've heard. You understand? And I'm saying that when I used it, I was using it in the frame that there's only going to be a remnant of folks. You understand? It's not going to be everybody gonna come back. Now I got a question here. They said that it's written in the scriptures that the other nations will gather with us. You understand, and take up land with us in the land. You understand? When the land is redistributed amongst us, you understand, that they will have land with amongst us. I want to know, are they going to be marrying into our nation or not?
No. I don't believe that they'll be marrying into our nation at all. I mean, that's debatable. You know, I really don't know. I can't answer to that. Nobody knows what's going to happen once we get there. I don't see how that's going to happen when he told us not to mix. He said, "Don't give your sons to their daughters, and don't take their daughters for your sons." Now,
yeah.
I think that what we have to focus on, though, is we have to focus on the here and now. Because I'm glad you brought that up. It's going to lead me into my next topic. Is because we got to do something about the black woman. Because I'm a black woman, and I have heard enough. I mean, I have just heard enough. You know, this Hebrew Israelite stuff, man, I'm telling you, Brother Adonai, if I didn't love the Most High the way I did and know who I was and what I was doing, I would walk away from this. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because we proclaim that we have the truth. I sit on conference calls after conference calls after conference calls. People email me and tell me we're having a conference call. We'd like for you to be on the call, blah, 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 blah. I'm on all kind of conference calls all the time. Now, let me tell you why I say that. It's because I hear people say, you know, we gotta economically empower ourselves. We've gotta economically do this. We've gotta economically do that. I listen and I set that to the side. Then I hear the brethren, the Hebrew brethren, not the brethren that's unconscious, but the Hebrew brethren on YouTube and all over the place talking about black women ain't no good and black women they about to be done away with and y'all hate the black woman and the black woman ain't gonna be this and that and the other. And you know, that's when I step up and say, okay, enough. Evidently you don't know what you're doing. Evidently you don't know who you serve, and evidently you don't know what you're doing. Because if you really knew the scriptures the way you knew the scriptures, you would never let that come out of your mouth. Now, why I say that to say this, because we're all under the same curse. I had a sister tell me a couple weeks ago, she says, well, you know, I think it's our fault. It's a little bit of our responsibility, too, because our black men are going to white women because of the choices that we make. And, you know, my blood started boiling. I said, okay, here we go. And she says, I said, what do you mean by that? She says, well, it's because, you know, we make choices to do certain jobs and do different things. and is less attractive to the men, whereas, you know, the white woman doesn't have to do this, and they're more attractive and they're more submissive. I said, okay. I said, let's take that into consideration. Let's deal with that topic today. I said, do you really this is somebody that's been doing this thing a long time. I said, do you really believe what you just said? She said, yes, I do. I said, okay. I said, but what does Deuteronomy say about the curse and the black woman? She said, what do you mean? I said, what's our part of the curse? She said, I don't understand. What do you mean? I said, what part of the curse is specifically curtailed to the black woman?
Mm-hmm. All right. I hear you.
She said, I said, let me tell you. I said, it said that we would hate our own husbands. We would hate the children that came from between our legs. It said that we were so, when we used to be so dainty that our feet, we didn't even want our feet to touch the ground, that our attitude and our vicious and our character would be rough. I said, that's our part of the curse. So while our men are running to the women that are professing this femininity and this softness and all this softness stuff, that's the part of that we lost in the curse. I said, so don't put it, no. You got to put the blame where it lies. And I'll say this to all the brothers that are out there, stop putting us down because we're under the same curse you're under. So while the black man is and the black woman is struggling. When they did what they did with the Willie Lynch papers and they switched roles and gave the black woman a responsibility, guess what that did? That made us rough.
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that I'm finding out, you know what I'm saying, and I've been in this way for a number of years, and what I'm finding out here is that we've been indoctrinated. These things would not have went the way they're going had we not been in this captivity. But we had to go in, we had to come into the captivity because the Almighty had already ordained the curse. And the curse, you understand, led us in a lot of different directions, you understand? And the only way that I see that we're going to be able to come out of this here is because, see, remember in ancient times, man, we had elders, we had judges, then we had the Levites and the Kohanim. All of those people had were put in place for specific reasons. The elders were supposed to be able to give us instruction as to which way and what we're doing and how we need to do it. If it gets out of the elders' hands and it goes to the judges, that's penalty. The penalty comes from the judges. You understand? We don't have none of that stuff set up. You understand? And so therefore, you understand, we're going to still be languishing in the curse that the Almighty had allowed to be upon us. You understand, because of our iniquities in ancient times. You understand. Now, once we start having these people in place, then when we are confronted, we have to hold people accountable for their actions. You understand. We cannot do that in this land because certain things is punishable by death. You understand, and they got other penalties that we're supposed to put in place. But we're not able to do that because we don't have nothing going on like that. You understand? So, like I said, you know, early is that, you understand, we have to start, those that know themselves and are of the willing heart and willing mind, we have to start putting things in place. Now, right here in Georgia, they got some brothers who are elders, you understand, and they trying to put things in place, but they need help, just like all the other entities that people are involved with. They need help. They need us to be involved with it. You understand? I'm gonna speak to those brothers again and see if they can all, see if we can all get on the same page. That's what the whole thing is. We all got to be on the same page. You understand? We all got to walk the same walk and talk the same talk. You understand? Now we are all over the page. Now that brings me to this point right here that I mentioned earlier, is that the Spirit of the Almighty came to me, and he told me that we need to bring it to the source. All our little indiscretions and misunderstandings and disagreements, we need to take it to the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel, so that we can hear it from him personally. You understand how we got to what he wants us to do. You understand? We can't just I can hear it, but you're not gonna believe it coming from me. So it has to be done on a mass level where everybody will know. You understand what they need to do. You understand? And at that particular time, you understand, we supposed to be able to make that new covenant. That's not the.
You know what? I don't think it's gonna work, and I'm gonna tell you why I don't think it's gonna work. It's just like the children of Israel at the base of Mount Sinai. It was some that just wouldn't go. They wasn't going to be allowed to go. You know why? Because they had too much animosity in their heart. They murmured and complained too much, and they argued too much. I believe it's going to be a whole new breed that the Most High going to raise up to go, because everybody is so set in their ways that you can yell it and yell it and yell it and yell it and scream it and scream it and scream it and scream it, and they're still not going to come because they refuse. I don't believe it's going to work. I'm not with this group that we have right here. I just don't believe it's going to work. I believe that he's going to raise up a whole other group that's going to be no nonsense, that's going to do what the Most High tell them to do in spite of, because of, and instead of. And it's going to be male and female at the table with their sleeves rolled up ready to go to work. I believe that the ones that are in now are just too set in their ways. Some of them have taught so much hatred. And they bred hatred on top of the word of the Most High. And he's just not, like I said last week, it's certain people that think they're going to lead, and that is not going to be I don't believe that's going to be the face of the Most High. Now, that's just in my opinion. I'm going to say what the other man should have said. In my opinion, I don't think that's going to be the face of the Most High, because it has to be about love. It's like going into the neighborhood, going into the hood, where these people struggling, and you know they're struggling. I mean, they are robbing Peter to pay Paul. They selling food stamps to get extra money to pay their bills. They just got enough food stamps to survive. They done lost their jobs. They don't have no money for no extra stuff. And then you walk up and tell them, okay, guess what? I got some good news. They'll be like, well, what's the good news? You're a Hebrew. And they'll look at you like, okay, and?
Well, that's why I say, you know, that, you know, we could say out our mouth, you know, that we're Hebrew Israelites and we're the people of Yah. But if we don't have something to show people when we tell them, you understand, no accomplishments, let's say, you understand, we're not, you know, we haven't shown that the Almighty is showing us favor, you understand, by us, by what we do. If we don't do nothing, you understand what I'm saying, talking is cheap. We can all say that, you understand what I'm saying? We can all say things out of our mouth, you understand? But it won't mean nothing if we don't have no accomplishments to show that the Almighty is showing us favor, you understand?
Guess what, Brother Donnie? All we have right now at this moment, and I'm going to be 100% honest with you, all we have right now at this moment is our physical bodies. We don't have any money. None of us are rich. All we have is our physical bodies, and they won't even bring their physical bodies together and show unity. Nobody is going to come into an environment where people are fragmented to the point where they don't show unity.
Well, you know, like I said, you know, it's going to take people, you know, like like yourself.
Guess what? One thing about the church, be it bad or good, they're unified. Yeah. And I've heard people say, you know what, I'm just going to go back to church. And any time a person comes into the knowledge of who they are, and they make that statement out of their mouth, we better stand up and take notice. It's something we're doing wrong, and it's not going to fly. And I believe that's why we're in the position that we're in right now. It's not because the Most High, we curse, and he don't want to have nothing to do with us, and we got
that's
no,
not
it's
even,
because yeah. we got to learn how to love one another. And until we learn that, we ain't going nowhere. We wasting time. We ain't going to go nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask a question here. How do we profess to show this love for one another?
We're supposed to come together. We're supposed to support each other. We're supposed to be there for each other. But you can't get nobody to do nothing.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Well, you know,
we're planning.
See, that's why I say. That's why I say that we have to get together with the people. We have to have a plan. We have to have a plan. That's the first thing. The one or two of us or three of us or five of us have to come together and say, well, we got a plan here. Here's what our plan is. You understand? Our plan is such and such and such and such. And here's what we're doing. And here's what we've done. You understand? Now, once we do that, you understand, then we have to put out we have to do as much as we possibly can to make our plan show that the Almighty is showing us favor. You understand? And as we do that, and as we start bringing things to start to work, because see, I believe that the Almighty, you understand, that if we do something, the Almighty will do something. You understand? What I'm saying is that we have to show that that we want to come back to the Almighty. We want to go back home. You understand? And it's not going to be a bunch of us. It's going to be more people than we expect. But it's going to be just a few of us that are willing-hearted. You understand? And we're going to have to work extra hard. We're going to have to put on that extra hat. You understand? To make things work. You understand? So that we can show the people. We can't just talk about love. We got to show love. You understand? Show it by putting extra effort in putting things in place. You understand? Like I said, man, if we don't do nothing for our children or put stuff in place, you understand, they going to catch hell, you understand, in the next generation trying to get things together, because it's going to get worse. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the only problem that I have is that we wait till the last minute, and we expect a lot of us talking about, you know, we expect the leaders to do something. It's not the leaders anymore. It's the common person that got to put their head into the thing and start moving and start working and doing things. You understand? Because if we sit back and wait for them leaders, man, they'll still be telling us the same thing until we all perish. Hallelujah.
I agree with you. Like I said, this can't be the face of it. I mean, for real, this can't be. And like I said, the people that have been in it a long time have been in it a long time. It is what it is. I'm coming to you, area code 314. Hold on, I'll be right with you. But this just, I mean, you know, there's no joy. It's depressing. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah, it is. You are absolutely right. You understand? Brings tears to my eyes. You understand? For us not to be willing to do something, man. See us doing something. See us going through what we're going through, and nobody doing nothing. That is truly depressing. But it's going to take the willing heart of a few folks to get things going in the right direction. Hallelujah.
I agree with you. Let me let this caller on. And again, you know, we're talking about ourselves as a people. 314, go ahead. You're on the air.
You know, I was listening to your conversation. Brother, what's your name again?
Adonia.
Adonia, this is Baba Pianki. And, you know, you're absolutely right that nobody's doing things. And, you got to do the things that people want. You know, we just spent from 11 this morning to about a half hour ago on a conference call with young blacks, and we're talking about doing business. There's some who identify blacks with land in the South that's oil on it, so they're trying to put together a deal whereas they can extract the oil. put it on the market, oil and gas, and, you know, make sure that things are done the correct way. Like, I mean, it's been done before. You had Jake Simmons who done it back in 1920 in Texas who created a black oil dynasty. So maybe it's that the message that you're telling or the things that you're showing is not acceptable or attractive to young people nowadays. You know, if you don't create no future today, then tomorrow you won't exist.
That is.
Look at what the Nation of Islam is trying to recapture from what the, you know, the Nation of Islam had the largest, well, it was the largest employer of black Americans in this country during the times of Elijah Muhammad. But look at them today. So people are wanting, but you have to have, you know, people in America are looking for economic change. I mean, immigrants that come here looking for economic change. And that's what America is about.
Okay, question. I have a question. So then how does that economic change apply to us as Hebrew Israelites while we're in the land of captivity, when we have a, curse that clearly states that we will not be in control of our own economic power? Now, we can do certain things. That's my first question. My second question is, the man who created the oil empire in the 1920s, where is it right now?
Simmons Oil still exists.
And does a black man own it?
Yes, Jake Simmons was not only created an oil dynasty, but he also was a power broker politically. So, yes, Simmons Oil still exists, just like many others.
But black man.
Yes, Jake Simmons was black. As a matter of fact, his wife was, I believe she was Cherokee.
Okay, but does a black man own it today?
Ma'am, I gave you that answer three times.
Okay.
Okay. Let me ask a question. Let me suggest something.
Let me go ahead and tell you. And I disagree when you say that blacks not going to own anything, because every black don't consider themselves as being Hebrew Israelite. You know, I own the structure steel erection business, where I put up buildings just like the ones that fell down in at 9/11. And how successful at that? Was able to pass on, you know, money to my children and grandchildren. So there's a lot of people that's doing things, that's doing it very well. And you know, I tell you what. You can have two conferences, two lectures, one across the street from each other. I can be on one side of the street talking about economic, doing things economically, or talking top stocks and options, and the other one can talk about black history or whatever. And I'm going to pack the place. And this is what I see.
No doubt you will, but at the end of the day, you're talking about a select few. We're talking about a whole nation. And unless a whole nation can experience what you've experienced, then that doesn't apply to us. They will get excited for a moment because I, too, own my own business and did very well for myself and had money to leave my children. I was worth $1 million at one point in my lifetime. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about a whole nation of people, that's something totally different. And if you don't consider yourself to be a Hebrew Israelite, then you don't understand what we're talking about.
Well, I think I understand it just as well as anybody else, because I spent as many as 8 years over in that part of the land, going in and out of tombs and temples and pyramids, and done field research, doing archaeology and paleontology, research on people's garbage that was created over 60,000 years ago. And I know many Hebrew Israelites here in this town. But I'm telling you, a nation can be 10 people or it can be 1 million people. And if you're not doing anything for your nation, like Malcolm X said, then people need to either go on or you need to put it back in the closet. And I'm not saying that's you, but I'm just saying.
No, you have a right to say it. I'm glad that you feel, you know, comfortable enough to say. But at the end of the day, like I said, you know, when you talk that, it is good. I know you can pack the houses. We watch it every day with our so-called leaders. We watch it every day with our economic analysts, the black politicians. They'll pack out the college arenas, and the black people will come to try to find the solution. But the only solution that is going to be long-lasting is to come into the knowledge of who you are and prepare to get ready to understand that this is not our land. Now, while we're here, yes, we do have to work. While we're here, yes, some of us have degrees. We have bachelor's degrees, master's degrees. Some of us even have PhDs. We have gone through the necessary genre to make it in what we call corporate America. So we understand that part of it, but when you're talking about a nation of Hebrew Israelite people, that we're under a curse that says that because of what we did, we will never be on top, Some of us may have some good jobs, but even then, they still, you're still not where you would be. You still have to come up under somebody. So all of that is good at the end of the day, and you're probably right, sir. You will pack out the arena. But after it's all over, when everybody's going to leave out of there enthused and ready to go forward until they hit that brick wall.
So, well, everybody,
let me that brick wall, and the reality
yes, sir.
Is,
Let me
come back
here. First of all, I want to tell brother, listen, I appreciate you coming on, man, speaking your mind, and I want you to keep coming back and keep talking about this, because we ain't going to find no solution if we don't talk about it. You understand?
Absolutely.
And now, now here's a major, major point here. You understand? And I think now Yaina has stated it clear. You understand? Is that, see, in if you read the scriptures, and I know a lot of us don't read. Some of us are atheists, and some of us are just negligent in our reading, and we don't want to try to make it clear. But in Zephaniah, the Almighty spoke to Zephaniah and said that we must gather ourselves, and he says, "Gather ourselves, O nation that is undesired." Now, the reason that we said that he spoke to Zephaniah and he brought that point, made it clear that we got to gather ourselves, is because if we don't gather ourselves, we're going to always be in this state that we're in now. We're going to be always talking about these same issues. You understand? We all have to get on the same page here. We all have to be about, we have to walk the same walk and talk the same talk. We have to build a nation, because, see, at one point here, we're going to get out of this land. At another point here is that this place is not going to last. This is on its way out. Here's another thing here, too, is they're getting ready to close down all of these government agencies that we support. That support us. You understand what I'm saying? And my thing is that we wait until the last minute. Once we start getting hungry, now we're going to want to try to start set things up and try to put things together. Those things that have been set up individually, they're not going to even touch the be on the Richter scale. You understand? Because hunger is going to be our major, major thing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you know, the brother with the oil industry, you understand what I'm saying? That's good. We need to support that. All of our people need to be on that. And he needs to be distributing that stuff to our make it an industry. You understand? We survive. We have to come up. We can't continuously depend on everybody else. You understand? At all. And that's what we've been doing our whole stay here. You understand? Even since we've realized who we are. You understand? We still fall back on depending on the other nation. You understand what I'm saying? We got to sell our oil. Look here, in Africa. Let me tell you this here. In Africa, man, in Angola, I think, you understand, we got the biggest oil deposit in Africa, you understand, and guess who's running that? The Japanese, the Chinese, one of those oriental agencies, you understand? So we got to come in, you know, if we make some efforts in our own behalf of building a nation, the Almighty will step in. We got to understand that the Almighty is our true and living Yah, and living God. Hallelujah.
Brother, let me say something. You have to realize that all blacks in America are not the same. Some people don't believe in that, but we still experience same sort of oppression. And
we are under the same thing. The
right.
Same.
And everybody's, you know, some people don't believe in God or in Jesus or so on. I've talked to the people there in Gondor, right outside of in Ethiopia, and they only go by the first five books. They still do today, and I think they have a closer relationship to that area of the country than somebody who's 25 or 3,000 miles away. But the thing that I'm seeing is that, well,
that's not true.
That's
but
what
I mean,
they say.
I will allow you to say that, but that's not true.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And we have just as close a relationship to him, even though we're as far away as we are, we're just as close as they are, or not, if not closer. And that's why I was saying today, you got to be very careful with what you say, because there's a lot of people on this.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. But anyway, as I said before, when you go talk to them, that's what they say. And I can't dispute them. But the thing is, like you said, is that.
Can we move on? Okay, Brother Donnie, are you done?
Oh, yes, you do.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, the brother
hello?
Is gone, but go ahead. I'm here. Oh, what were you saying?
Hello?
Because, you know, we got, like I told the brother, we have to be very careful with what we say and how we say. You know, if you're not a Hebrew Israelite and you don't believe you're one, that's fine. I ain't no issue with that, and that's fine. But to go on and tell people that you feel like that economically we need to empower ourselves, we can only do what we can do within the parameters of the curse.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well,
because guess what? It's a white man somewhere around here making sure that you stay within the perimeters of Psalms 83. And until we leave this land, and we are corrected, because guess what? Because the ones, the blacks that have been successful, they pledge an allegiance to this mess. And I promise you they have.
Okay, yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, you understand? You know, but they, you know, my thing is that at some point, you understand, we're gonna have to gather ourselves as a nation. Now, I may be putting the hot cart before the horse. You understand when I say that. You understand? See, me, and this little radio, this little broadcast. You understand? We just talking. We at some point we got to together and start doing something. You understand? You know, and my purpose here of being on this broadcast is so that we could try to start moving in that direction. Because if we don't do nothing, then we just bringing lip service to the Almighty. We got to make something happen. We got to try to get these people together and have a conference and bring your idea to the table. You understand? I'm one for coming to the table so that we can sit down and we can talk about how we gonna get this going. You understand? Instead of saying it ain't gonna work. You understand? If it's not gonna work, we got to make it work. We got to make something work.
100% with you when it comes to that. I'm 100%. I'm not saying that there's not some of us out there that are successful. I'm not saying that. I'm not. Because there are Hebrew Israelites out there that have their own businesses. They own real estate. They're doing positive things. I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't buy into the beast. Because at the end of the day, the beast is just a means to an end. Our job, our main job is to gather ourselves together as a nation and teach our who they are first and then possibly start creating commerce and things where we trade and buy among ourselves. But even with that, even when we do that, you better believe the beast, let me tell you something about America. I know you know. I don't have to tell you. You're older than me. But America is commerce. The corporate entity of America is about dollars. And they brought us over here so that we could help them produce dollars by being their field hands so that we could produce the resources that they had to trade internationally and nationally. And so now instead of us picking cotton, guess what we're doing? We ain't picking cotton no more. We're buying gym shoes. We're not picking cotton anymore. We're buying designer clothes.
Yeah.
My issue is that we have to understand that even though we're not out in the fields anymore, we're still being used to promote commerce. So just like Black Wall Street, they had it going on in Black Wall Street. But what happened? The white folks came in, and what they do, they burnt it down.
Yeah. Well, see, the one thing is that, you understand, it was not done in the name of Yah. In the understanding of the Creator, and it was to become the illusion of inclusion. You understand? That's what we're under right here today. We are under the illusion of inclusion. We seem to think that the more we look like the white or the European, the more we get business and run our business the way the European runs is. You understand that we'll be included in this society. We don't realize that this society is not our society. You understand? And I understand where the brother's coming from when he says, you know, when he talks about there's a lot of us that don't understand who we are. You understand? They all over the place. You understand? That's why I say it's going to take a few of us to make some kind of impact on the rest of us.
But before you can do that, and let me say this, before you can do that, you got to teach the people, one, what they're involved in, because a lot of people don't understand corporate America. Number one, who they are. Number two, how they promote this place. And then number three, channeling those same dollars that you have made Michael Jordan rich, because we'd have made Michael Jordan rich, and all of the other basketball players that go design their gym shoes and they sit down with the marketing company and decide how they're going to market to the black neighborhood and how they're going to put it on and how Devin Rose is going to carry their shoes and all the whole chain of command from marketing, from the front to the back, from the beginning to the end, and we've made those people rich. The only way we're going to get the dollars that we need to get is we got to educate our people as to who they are. Educate them as to, you know what, I was thinking the other day, and I'm about to come into some money, a lot of it. And I was thinking the other day when I was laying up in my room, I said, I don't even know one black Hebrew Israelite real estate agent. If I wanted to pay a Hebrew Israelite real estate agent to be my agent, to go around the country to find houses for me, I can't find one conscious. You know why? Because we don't come together. I'm looking for an artist. I want somebody to draw some paint some pictures for me so we can put them up in our location we're getting ready to get. And because we refuse to come together, and I know we're talented. It's not the fact that we don't have the talent out there, but because this generation of Hebrews that we're dealing with are being taught to stay segregated, nobody knows anybody that does anything. We need black nutritionists. We need black nurses that are Hebrew Israelites to give advice. We need all kind of stuff as a nation, but you know why it ain't going to work? It's because we can't get them to come together. So guess what I got to do? I got to go find somebody else that's outside of our channel to be able to bring, and I'm going to pay somebody else this money to do this when I can give it to my own Hebrew Israelite brother and sister.
Well, here's what I suggest. You understand? If you come into some money, you know, Abraham Yisrael, he has a... he's trying to set up some real estate buying and selling houses. You understand? We might want to commit to doing something like that. See, we got to show some accomplishments. You understand? If we can accomplish that, make that our focal point, we're going to buy and sell houses, we're going to repair them houses, we're going to, you understand? I got a little plan that I want that I see that could help a lot of people. You understand what I'm saying? They got an agriculture program. You understand? Them same brothers that I was talking about, you understand, putting them out there and letting them know that this, you know, showing them, that's why I say there's got to be a few of us that's dedicated for the restoration of Israel so that we can get these accomplishments going. If we get accomplishments going, we'll get more people than we can imagine. You understand what I'm saying? They'll come up with programs. They'll commit. You understand? If we show some commitment. Hallelujah.
And guess what? I see you 404. I'm coming to you in one moment. Guess what? Another thing. We got a young lady that said, and I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit. Matter of fact, you know, some of them are putting their children in Catholic school now, because they don't want them to go to the regular public schools because they're so bad. And guess what? I used to go to Catholic school when I was in the seventh grade. My mom paid for me to go to private school. And I remember going into those schools. I was a Christian at the point. And walked in, and you know, religion is a part of their school. So you can't go to Catholic school and not participate in their religion classes. So when we went to Mass, morning. Guess what they made us? They made them do bow down. I wouldn't bow down. I was in the seventh grade. I said, I'm not doing it. And the teacher told me, you have to do it. I said, I'm not. We're not allowed to bow down to statues. He said, we're going to call your mother in the office. I said, well, you're going to have to call her in because I'm not bowing down. Now, I'm in the seventh grade. And my mom came in. They said, we have a problem because she refuses to participate in our religion program. And my mom was like, what's wrong? I said, the scripture said we're not supposed to bow down to no statues, and I'm not bowing down to no statues.
Do you remember when I told you about those 50 schools that they closed down in Chicago? You understand?
That's what I'm,
I said, why we can't have a couple of those schools and set up our own school curriculum? You understand? If the Catholic folks can do that, and they have, and you have to bow down to their situations, we ain't asking you to bow down. We just teaching you what's truth and real. You understand? They, you know, so I don't see, you know, I don't see the difference. Somebody else told me, you understand? I don't know, you know, see, I'm not opposed to getting no money from the federal government to set up no program. I am not opposed to that at all. You understand? Because I believe that we could do this in the name of the Almighty. You understand?
They'll stop you, but hold on. I'm gonna let you go to air code 404. Go ahead, you on the air. Air code 404. You're on the air. Give them a minute. Maybe they had their phone on mic. On mute. I'll give them a minute. I'm going to leave her mic open. Maybe they have their phone on mute. But, you know, those are the things that we got to get in order because there's no reason why we can't have a school. There's no reason why we can't offer a school for our children to go to. Our children shouldn't have to go to school with trans men dressing up like women. And homosexual, man, our performing arts school here in Cincinnati is so bad with the homosexual stuff. My one of my daughters told me that one of her friends asked one of her coworkers a question like, well, why, what happened? And she said, he told her, I went to performing arts and everybody was doing it, and that's when I started doing it. We got to do something. And guess what? We got teachers that are Hebrew Israelites. We got counselors that are Hebrew Israelites. Don't nobody want to come together. So like I said, this generation right here, I don't see it happening with these people.
Well, you know, if you decide that you want to put forth some money to get that industry going, you understand, you have to put stipulations on your money. You understand? I'm not investing no money, you understand, in nothing that ain't Israel, period. You understand what I'm saying? And I just have to eat off mine. I mean, I just have to be the one to eat off my money.
And I don't mind helping. I really don't mind helping. But at the end of the day, guess what I'm not going to do? I have tried everything in my power. People together just on the simple thing. We coming to Atlanta. We're making plans to come to Atlanta probably in the fall of this year. And we're trying to put together a fashion show. They're trying to decide what it's going to be. And it's going to be, we're going to run it. But it's going to be a little different than everybody thinks it's going to be. But it's going to get the message out there. But we were trying to decide whether we were going to do it in Texas, Atlanta, Virginia, those were the three. And everybody keeps saying we need to come to Atlanta. So we're making plans to come to Atlanta. But like I said, I'm not really impressed with the participation of the Hebrew Israelite communities and the people that I've come in contact with. I'm not impressed. I'm just not. I mean, I'm just really not. I see conference calls after conference calls. And people making plans. And there's a few people. There's a handful of people that are really on the move doing stuff. But as far as uniting us as a nation, I don't see it.
Well, see, here's the thing. Those few people that are doing something, that's where we put our focus on. You understand what I'm saying? And we build that up. We make that as an accomplishment for us. You understand what I'm saying? For the house of Israel, if they're about Israel, you understand? But we build on that. You understand? Like I said, I got this program set up for these the people that are our brothers and sisters that are incarcerated. You understand? The reason why they incarcerated, man, because they snatched up all the jobs. You understand? They put dope in our neighborhood. You understand? And we sold it. You understand? To eat. You understand? And in using that dope, man, you know, it encompasses a whole lot of stuff, man. You understand what I'm saying? A whole lot of negativity come out of that. You understand? But we didn't have no alternative. You understand? We had to do that because that's what they did. You understand? So they call us the criminal. That's the criminal calling us the criminal. You understand? When they did things to us, we had to do things to retaliate. You understand? To live. You understand? So I got this program set up so that they can get an education. They didn't just start closing down these schools. They've been closing down these schools for the last 20, 25 years. You understand what I'm saying? They've been taking out the curriculum and giving us less teachers to work with. You understand what I'm saying? And, oh, man, they've been piling it on. You understand what I'm saying? So our children have not been able to get any kind of education. You understand? They took out there was a time in our history in early slavery, you understand, where we did all the work. Electrical, plumbing, carpentry, all of the work. You understand? They stopped teaching us. They took the carpentry and all of those programs out of the schools. You understand? Now, in order for you to get you have to get a degree in something that we made possible. For them white folks to get this education, because they didn't do nothing in their own behalf. We did all the work. You understand? So it is our responsibility to try to set something up for those kids, man, so that they can come out, you understand, and be productive members of our society, the one that we build up. You understand? And I'm totally with Abraham. You understand, when he talks about building this nation and becoming a sovereign nation, you understand, because, see, you understand, you know, when we become independent, that means that we got to take care of our own. We don't have to depend on nobody else. Hallelujah.
Erico 404, you're on the air. Maybe they pushed it by accident. All I can say is, like I said, and nobody wants to work for free. Everybody wants to be paid. We got plenty of work to do. Most everything we do is virtual through the computer.
Like I said, man, I'm not opposed to taking no money from the federal government to set up no program. I really am not. I think that we need to do it. Hello, go ahead.
But all I'm saying is that I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else that's under the sound of my voice. There is plenty of work to do. We have so much stuff we need to come together on. Things that are important for us to come together on, that we have to stop being scared and come together. Now, the
okay, let me go. Let me say this here. See, my program
nobody's going to get paid because I put countless hours in for doing stuff that I paid for out of my own pocket. And the ones that are willing to work are rolling up their sleeves and work, and the rest of them that don't want to help, then you just don't want to help. But at the end, like I said, it's only going to be a few people that are going to be willing to do this thing and really get it done right.
You know, they got a program. They got a Second Chance Act. They give away $160 million. They gave away $160 million in 2012. I don't know what the number is in 2013. But they gave away $160 million. In 2012 for the Second Chance Act. They gave I got a list of the agencies that they gave money to. You understand? My program calls for $10 million over a period of 4 years. You understand? Outside of that 4 years, we're supposed to be able to show them, in 2 years, I believe that we can show them that we can get 85% of the population that come out of the penitentiary, you understand, to become productive members of society with some kind of education, with a job, you understand what I'm saying, and with housing. We can do this. I think I know that we can do this because we the same people that put together this whole society here, from the outhouse to the White House, and we did it with no money. But if we get this $10 million, we can set up programs, and we put people in place, you understand? And we can make this work, man. We can salvage some of our children, man. We can make it so that our younger children don't have to go to the penitentiary. Oh, man, there's so many things that we can do off that program, man. Oh, boy. And see, what I need is I need some help doing it. I need somebody, you understand, to show me how it can be done. You understand? I got all the information. I was looking through that paperwork today, man. You understand? My proposal is just a rough draft. It needs to be rewritten. You understand what I'm saying? We need to sit down and talk about it, man, and fix this program so that it can work. You understand? We keep on dragging our feet, man. That's what we're going to get back.
Area code 404, you're on the air. Hello. Maybe they pushed it by accident. I'm going to leave your mic open. But like I said, you know, we're doing what we're doing. The Nation of Yehuda is on the move, and we're putting things together at the Nation of Yehuda. We're also working with the United Nations of Israel. Everybody's trying to put things together so that we can have something to identify as our own. You know, but at the same time, you know, we can only do so much. And there are so many different areas. I need an editor-in-chief for the Seventh Seal. We have a newspaper called the Seventh Seal. And I need somebody that would be willing to step up to the plate and to commit to do that every month and actually be, you know, an editor-in-chief for the newspaper. Because, you know, we can't do it all. Everybody can. It's so many things we can do virtually where we don't have to be in each other in the same city. All you got to do is have the Internet.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. That is correct. I agree.
We need graphic designers. We need some graphic designers, and we're asking people that have the skills of graphic design to step up if you have those skills. We need all kind of people from all whatever. That's what we've been trying to do with the United Nation of Israel and with the Nation of Yehuda. We have been trying to get people to just step up to the plate with whatever you bring to the table. And let's get to moving and let's get it going on. But like I said, this generation right here, it ain't going to work. And like I said, when I go to look for a real estate agent and I'm looking for somebody to do something for me, I have to go to the outside people to do it because nobody, no, if you are a real estate agent, we don't have anything put in place. When the Nation of Yehuda is developing a chamber of commerce. Let me say again, the Nation of Yehuda is developing a chamber of commerce. By January the 1st, our website will be up, and I will announce it on the radio, so get all of your talents together, because if we're going to spend the money, we might as well give it to you. Hello? If you stay here, we hello?
I feel you. You are correct.
But the people don't want to get paid before in my life. It's like we're putting a chamber of commerce together so that we'll know who does what all over the country.
Yep. I agree. Need to move on that. I'm willing to work with anybody. I might not agree with certain things that's being done, but if it's talking about building a nation, then I'm all for it. I really am. You understand? Because I don't know what's going to work and what ain't going to work. You understand? So I know that we need to do everything. You understand? We need.
Guess what? Even while you're here, I own a house. Guess what? If I have plumbing issues in my house, and I know a brother, the Hebrew Israelite, he a plumber, I might as well get the money to him. I've never seen a bunch of people don't want to get paid before. I need my house painted. Is there any Hebrew Israelite painters out there? I mean, come on, we trying our best to get people to understand the importance of coming together.
My nephew's got a construction business right now. They're doing pretty good. You understand what I'm saying? And so I know that they're available to do all kinds of work. You understand what I'm saying? I got one of my nephews is air conditioning, heating and air conditioning. You understand? He's getting plenty of work. You know, and they Hebrew Israelites. You understand?
Somebody
truly
can go on the website and say, okay, I need a heating and plumbing person in Atlanta. Boop, they push the button in Atlanta. Your nephew's address come up with his telephone number. You can call the brother, and then he'll get a, come on, that's all we're trying to do.
All right. You know, I heard this guy say, baby steps, baby steps.
Honey, baby, how much baby is going to take? Because we ain't even been stepping. We've been crawling and begging while we've been crawling. Guess what? Now we're not picking cotton. We're buying gym shoes. And every time that they want our money, you know what they do? They advertise it on their soap operas or their reality TV shows or their regular TV shows at night. Or they show, I remember when them shoes came out with the red bottom under the bottom. Mm-hmm. Oh, these are shoes with the red bottom. Oh, really, girl? You got shoes with the red bottom? Oh, for real? How much they go for? Oh, they go for $1,200. Oh, for real? I got to get me some. And you know what they did? They put it on television, and then half of the women that can't afford to buy them ran out and got shoes with the red bottom. This is how they manipulate us, and this is how they take our capital.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, man, it's going to take us to be in a struggle mode before we recognize. You understand? Until then, you understand, we ain't gonna recognize. We still gonna hem and haw and hold these grudges and be at odds with one another they're not supporting us anymore. We ain't getting a dollar.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's why I don't associate myself with people like that. Whether you're a Masonic or non-Masonic, if you want to spend the next 10, 15 years arguing over that, then guess what? Have at it. I'm not going to have a part of it at all whatsoever. We're trying our best to build unity. We're trying to build a network of Hebrew Israelites where we can network together and do what we need to do and start supporting each other and spending our own dollars in our own neighborhoods.
Our own industries.
All you got to do is take your dollars back.
Mm-hmm. Why are we getting these dollars? Because we ain't going to be able to
I can stand on the street corner while he's talking about economic empowerment. I can be talking about this, and I guarantee you it'll be more people on my side than on his. Stop spending the dollars.
While we are getting the dollars, because there's going to be a point when we ain't going to be getting these monies. You understand? We're going to have to, you know, it's going to be a struggle, you understand? And my point is why are we going to wait till the train hit us?
But, again, like I said, everybody's not an entrepreneur, and that's fine. If you're not an entrepreneur, then just say, hey, what can I do? I want to do something. Let me do whatever we need to do. What can we do? Help us do it. We'll help. Everybody's
correct.
Not an entrepreneur, and that's fine. But whatever you can bring to the table, we have plenty of stuff for everybody to do.
That is correct. That is correct.
But we had talked about that 1-800 number for people to call in for abuse. You know why we never got that started? It's because nobody wanted to commit to be on the line. We can't do everything. We got about 4 people that would be willing to man the line for the 1-800 number. For the women that call in that feel like they need to talk, or the men that call in that feel like they need to talk, or they might feel like they're about to lose it. We went through the process of investigating the 800 number and how much it was going to cost, and everybody committed, okay, we'll commit to keeping this phone number on for people that want to call. But if you do all that and you pay that money and don't nobody call, what's the point?
I know that's right.
I'd rather go to the white man and let him tell you this is what your problem is. And let me tell you what he's going to do. He's going to put you on medication because they got to keep the pharmaceutical industry going.
That is correct. Ritalin and all of those things, man, to keep you docile.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you talk about building a nation and coming together as a nation, there's no big I's and little U's. We are all trying to do this together. We are coming to Atlanta, Brother Adonia. We are putting plans in motion right now we're going to have a committee. We're putting a committee together. If you women are on the line and you're interested, and you men are on the line and you're interested, you can email me, and I'm going to give you my email address one more time. It's Yaina, Y as in yellow, A as in apple, H as in Harry, E-E, N is in Nancy, A is in Apple, and then it's Israel with the Y in front of it at gmail.com. So it's YISRAEL. Email me if you're interested in being on the committee. We're going to be scouting out places where we can have, we plan on having a fashion show because we feel like fashion shows will bring the people in to the arena so that we can at least witness the unconscious Israel. I'm done with conscious Israel. I'm not going to do that no more. I'm finished with that. Those that are conscious that want to be a part of helping to get this message through to the unconscious Israel, we need your help. If not, don't worry about it. Because I ain't pulling nobody. I meant that when I said that the last time. I'm finished with that part of it. We're not going to talk about sex no more. We're not going to talk about anal sex and all that stuff no more. We'll get on those subjects at one point in time when we get our groups together. We plan on putting together groups so we can start talking to our young people and get our young people's minds together. Somebody got to get out in the field. We can't stay on the conference calls all the time. We got to roll up our sleeves and go out to the neighborhoods. That's the only way we're going to reach them.
Hallelujah.
Don't you agree?
I agree. I agree. You understand? It's nation time. It's not about us sitting back, you understand, just talking about it. It's about doing. You understand? You know, so we need to move in them areas. And we need not waste no time. The Almighty will give us the time that we need, but we sure can't waste it.
No, we can't waste it. Our job is to do whatever we need to do, but nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to come together.
I used to think maybe it was me. So that's why I never really came and started and would talk about it. You understand? Because I thought maybe, you understand, it was me. Hold on a minute. I got another call. Talk to you.
Okay, I got it from here. But, you know, I just want to say, you know, that's what this show is all about, is uniting Israel. That's what it's all about. That's what it's been about. We deal with the issues that we deal with in our nation, and we got to come together. We got to come together. We got to learn how to love each other. We got to learn how to keep it moving. We got to keep moving forward, because if we don't, we're just going to be another generation sitting back talking, and they're going to laugh in our faces because they know they programmed us enough to know that we're only going to go so far. And we got to do something. I mean, you know, like I said, I spend a little bit of dollars that I do have now in places where I would be like, why come I can't give this to my own people? But if we don't know you out there, how can we contact you? How can we get in contact with you if we don't know you out there? Roofing companies. If you got roofing companies, email us so we can put that information on it. You don't even have to wait till January 1st. Just email us. Whatever it is you do, whatever part of the country that you're in, email us and let us know what it is you do so that we can put your name on a list and people can have access to your information. That's nothing but marketing. That's called marketing. So that's what we're trying to do. That's what we've been trying to do. We've been trying to get people to the point where they participate in what we're doing and that they have a level of excitement about what they're doing and get involved in what they're doing. And that's what we need everybody to do. We need people to start getting involved. We got enough stuff coming at us. You know, I got all kind of people on this chat line saying all kind of stuff, and we're not getting into those debates and those conversations. We're just not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So, area code 404, your mic is still open. We've had it open for a minute. If you have a comment or a question, please say yes, no. I'm going to put you back on mute. Like I said, you know, we have a lot of people that have offered up a lot of things. We got television shows and different people putting together television shows and all kind of stuff like that. And we know that a lot of people don't have any money. And you're willing to do, let's roll up our sleeves and get ready to start doing something. We got to do something. We got to have something in place. And if we can come together and put a chamber of commerce together, that's all the chamber of commerce is a location where you can come to find a person who can offer a service that you can pay for.
Okay.
That's what it's called. Here, where we are, we have an African-American chamber of commerce. Why can't we can't have a Hebrew Israelite chamber of commerce?
All right.
That's what the nation of Yehuda is putting together, a Hebrew Israelite chamber of commerce.
I think that's good. I think that's magnificent. You know, we need all of it. We need the doctors, lawyers. We need if we can't get no hospital, we need medical institutions where people can come and get checked out and all of that stuff, man. You know, things like that.
Nurses, we need nurses.
But we got plenty of nurses. They just don't have no facilities.
They can have a hotline. They don't even have to be all that. We can have a hotline. We need counselors that would be willing to counsel our young mothers. To get people. We talking about people, the world people, our people that are unconscious, that have issues.
That is correct.
And they have to go to the other nation to get the advice. They don't understand us.
Yeah. You know, you was right about the real estate things, man, because they closed down my sister's, my sister got in default, my sister-in-law got in default with her mortgage. You understand? We needed a place to go to, man. She went to those banks, and they heard her whole life story and then came and told her, well, there's nothing that we can do. You understand? She wound up losing her place. So we need all that kind of stuff, man. You understand? That's why I said that the treasury, we needed a treasury to set up so we could support some of the things that we say we need.
And
we say we need these things, then we can support them. You understand? We use almost $1.5 billion a year in this society. You understand? And we don't have one thing that we support that belongs to us. Period.
Because we think that unless we go to them, it ain't done right. That's why.
Yeah. You absolutely
I
right.
I was looking for a legal, man. I couldn't find not one.
Yeah, you know. So you know, we need to start banding together. And let's just assume that you're not Israel, but you want to do something. You can come and do something with us. You understand what I'm saying? Because we trying to band together. I mean, eventually it'll come to you whether you're Israel or not. You understand? But once they start taking away all of these government programs, we're gonna be looking for a place to go. You understand? A place that's gonna help us, help support us. You understand? So you know, there's a lot of things that we gotta do, man. We just can't sit back and just wait for them folks, man. Wait for the last minute. I'm telling you, boy, that last minute gonna get us.
We're going to keep on telling them, and man, listen, I'm just, you know, those are the things that we need. We just need a chamber of commerce for everybody to come together. If you have a business card that you can email me your business card with your phone number on it. We need your address, your phone number, your fax number, and your email address. If you have a website, we need that. Anybody that offers anything that has a website, we need that information.
Yeah. We need people that are familiar with the funerals industry, because we got people that die in Israel also and don't have no money. You understand? Not all of us have insurance.
That's right.
We need a burial plot. You understand? In this society, since we're gonna be here, since we ain't talking about going nowhere. Since we don't think that we're going anywhere, we need a burial plot. You know what I'm saying? When I die, I want y'all to take my bones back to Israel if you can.
Brother Donnie. You just took the words right out of my mouth. I hope I live to be able to make it in the Exodus, but if something happens and I don't leave my bones over here, I want to go home.
That is correct.
I want to go home over here.
Yeah.
No. But those are the things that we need. Those are the things that we're trying to put together. You know, we need people that would be willing to network with us, to join the Chamber of Commerce at the Nation of Yehuda, be able to put together your skills, whatever it is that you do, and bring it to the table. That's all we're saying, is bring it to the table.
Yeah. You know, what they cannot say is that they don't have any information, because you're giving them information here. You understand? When you gave them your email address and the website, you understand? They can't say, "Well, I didn't know what to do." You understand? Because
right.
You're telling them right now, you understand, that you have all of this stuff set up.
Right.
You understand? You know, and you know what? You know what's so ironic is that when they shut down this government, you understand, mm-hmm. and we got stuff set up, we can't close the door on nobody.
That's true.
We gotta do what we can for them. You understand? No matter whether they came in when they didn't or they did, we have to do what we have to do. We can't see. We don't have the opportunity to tell nobody no. You understand? Mm-hmm. We gotta work with them anyway, and I guess that's what they're waiting on.
Well, you know, like I said, we gotta bring our resources together and be able to start paying each other. And that's not no big eyes and no little U's or none of that. So everybody want to get paid. Anybody that has a skill that they feel like is paid is worthy of its hire, email me at Yahena, Y-A-H-E-E-N-A. Yisrael is YISRAEL@gmail.com. We're going to put you on our list, on our Chamber of Commerce list, and we're going to have it from state to state, and we're going to put you in there. If you're in Atlanta, we're going to have you in Georgia. If you're in the state of Georgia, if you're in the state of Ohio, we're going to have it located by cities, and we're going to have it all put together so that we'll know where we are and what we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Are you trying to get a newsletter also?
I already have a newsletter. I have the Seven Seal. That's what I was saying. We're getting ready to start back sending out the Seven Seal. We need an editor-in-chief, somebody that will be willing, preferably a retired person or somebody that has time to do it, to be our editor-in-chief that will be able to manage the newspaper, because I'm doing it all. So I don't want to have to do it all. I want somebody to say,
I'll volunteer to put together the paper if y'all help me do it. You understand? And I won't be able to start doing it until next month. I'll buy some ink for my printer, and I'll do what I can possibly do, or I'll set it up on my computer and email it to everybody or however. You understand? I just need help doing it, because I ain't never been no worked in any kind of administrative position. You understand? But I will help do that. I can do that. I'm here every day.
All right, we appreciate that. Look at how that's happening. You know, but it's always the same people. We need to get other people to just come aboard. I mean, you know, there's no money involved. We got to do
it. I ain't looking for no money.
I'm talking about other people.
Trust in the Almighty, see. You understand? I know that the Almighty is super, and he's been on my case even when I didn't know him. He brought me this far. Trust me. You understand? I got a lot to be thankful for it with the Almighty. You understand? So all I got to do is try to do something, you understand, that can help. If I can do something that can help, then that's what I want to do. You understand? That is my, because I believe in the restoration of Israel. I believe that we've got to come together and start working together and start building a nation. You understand? Excuse me. Because that's all we got. That's all we got is ourselves. We ain't got nobody else. You understand? No other nation came to our aid when we was being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered.
No. No, they still not. We're still getting chained, beat, whipped, and murdered, and all that. We still getting that. They're still getting it. So, you know, like I said, we can spend a lot of time and waste a lot of time, you know, to have the kind of radio shows. We can argue and debate over the words. We can come against each other because we Messianic and non-Messianic. Or we can decide that we're going to come to a neutral ground and start working together as a nation and helping each other out as much as we possibly can. We all have dollars to spend. We spend our money on what we want to spend it on, and we give it to who we want to give it to. Why not give it to each other?
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Doesn't that make
sense? Perfect. Perfect sense. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. I thought you cut off. That makes perfect sense. You understand? We got to stop spending our money with them because, if we don't start doing something for one another, man, we're going to perish as a nation. And then to leave it on the next generation to do something, man, and they're going to catch natural hell because if we don't do nothing, it's going to get worse. You understand? And then they're going to have that, they're going to have to try to do something, you know, and, oh, man, it's going to be, the valley of the dry bones. You understand? The emphasis is on dry bones. You understand?
Yes.
The dry bones is because we were so stubborn and stiff-necked, you understand what I'm saying, that we didn't want to do nothing, so we became dry bones. We lack of knowledge, you understand? And after we got lack of knowledge and we still didn't do nothing, we turned to dust. That's what happens to dry bones when you don't do nothing, they turn to dust. And the first little wind come along, it's going to blow us all over the place, and we're going to be extinguished.
Guess what? I'm putting together a bereavement connection, too, so that we can put a system together for people who want to donate to a bereavement, have a bereavement fund. And what that is that's a fund for people who lose their loved ones and their family members. And we're going to put a notification system in place through the Nation of Yehuda that you can notify us that somebody has passed away, and we can send an email blast out to our whole community. And anybody that wants to donate monies, if you don't have funeral money or whatever, they can donate monies to everybody. These are the things that we want to do, because even if you got $10, $15, you don't know how much that came in handy. When we were doing the March on Washington, D.C., people were donating $15, $10 here, $5 here. You donated $25. I mean, those monies added up. People were sending in checks for $25 and putting $25 on our PayPal account. Those are the things that added up to the point where it helped us do what we need to do. We can do that. I mean, that's the stuff that's easy to do.
That is correct. Absolutely. If you can't be physically involved, you can be financially involved, even if it's only $5. $5 a month shouldn't hurt nobody. I'm talking about the guy on the street could get $5 a month. You know what I'm saying? The guy living under the bridge can give up $5 a month. If he know he going to eat it all month, he can give up $5. Trust me.
You know, those are the things that when we need, as a nation, we need to start coming together. As a nation, it's not, and you won't be giving us the money. You'll be sending it directly to the person who has the loved one that's lost. We're going to be the point person where we get the information out. We need to take information down, like who you are, who is the person that passed away, what funeral home they're at. They can send it to the funeral home. It don't even have to be in your hands. But we've got to create some sort of system. Something's got to be created.
That is correct. You understand? I think I told you all the thing about my sister. And my brother was renowned in Israel, you understand? Elazar Kotev Yehuda. You understand? Moray Elazar Kotev. You understand? He was a writer. He's writing the Third Chronicles, or he wrote the third. He wrote portions of the Third Chronicles, and my sister died, and her name was Harakba. You understand? And she didn't have money to be buried. I couldn't get a dime. Not nobody sent no money to help out. That was deplorable. I couldn't even get my relatives to come up with some money. So it was heartbreaking because we participated, man, in Israel's existence, and we couldn't get a dime, not no money.
That's shameful. There's nothing but word for that other than shameful. Because guess what? They buy their weed and they buy their alcohol and they buy their stuff, man. That's shameful. And
To have a burial, I think it was $1,400 or $1,700. You understand? To have that done, if everybody that we knew that in Israel sent $10, you understand what I'm saying? It would have been maybe more than enough. You understand? But nobody sent no money. I mean none. That's horrible. I'm telling you. So that made me think that we need a treasury, so that we can put. So when things go on like that, man, everybody ain't got no insurance. You understand? We're talking about something like that, man. I bet you not nobody runs out and try to get no insurance so that when they die, they won't leave it on their relatives, who might not put in a dollar.
That's true. I mean, that is definitely true.
We got to think about what we're doing here. You understand what I'm saying? We're cutting off our nose to spite our face.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. I mean, those are the things that we try to make the reason why we're on the show, and those are the reasons why we have the program. And we will eventually start talking about different things, but what we're trying to do is find a solution. And like we were talking about the sodomy and the men having anal sex with their wives and have a hotline, a 1-800 number. Like I said, we went through all of that. We got it all together. But even with that, you have to train your counselors on what to say, what they can and cannot say. You have to train people. Nobody wants to go through it.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids are hurting. I mean, we got to have a suicide line.
That is correct. That is correct. Got to set up something for these children, man, because we got killed. Look at my sister-in-law went to services yesterday, and she said, man, with so many children there, you understand, we have children in vast number, and we ain't teaching them nothing. I mean, we teaching them the law, but we ain't showing them how the law applies.
Those are the things that are important. Those are the things that we have to come to grips with. And like I said, you got your program, and I'll try to help you out as much as I can with, I don't really believe in grant money from the government only because they are in control of what you do. They give it to you, and then they're going to tell you what you can and cannot do, and what you can and cannot say. It can't be
faith-based. Okay, let me try to clear that up. We talking about the Almighty. We talking about the true and living Yah. Ain't nothing that they could do that could stop this here if it's done in the name of Yah. Period. You understand? All they can do is hurry up and get that money to us. Period. That's all they can do. You understand? They can't stop us from doing nothing. And here, you made a statement here, man, that them Catholic churches get money from the federal government and they can teach what they want to teach? Come on. Come on. You understand? And here we are talking about. What we do here is we say that we love the Almighty, but then we come up with what them white folks could do, or what them people can do, or what the government can do. How could we Almighty, and then talk about what they do to us? They can't do nothing to us.
And all powerful. All I'm saying is that the Jews run the Federal Reserve.
I don't care what they do.
I'm telling you,
listen to what I'm saying here. We need to make an effort to try to do that. You understand? Regardless of what they say that they can do. You understand? Remember, now here's what Abraham set up this program, and he had they're gonna put up obstacles. They're gonna be they're gonna have rebuttal, but they couldn't do nothing with that boy, with that young man when he was in the penitentiary. They kept him for 92 days, and when he came out, you understand, most of the time when you stay in jail for 92 days, you're going to get 3 years. You understand? They couldn't do nothing with him. You understand? And they brought up rebuttal after rebuttal. You understand? On what they could do and what's wrong here, and they tried to figure this out and this and that and another. There was nothing that they could do. If we do it in the name of Yah, there's nothing that they can do, period. You understand? We don't recognize who we got on our side. We got the Almighty. Remember what he said? He said, let us make man in our image. That means that we are fashioned, we are made in the image of the Almighty, so we got everything, we got the power of the Almighty. We got to recognize that that's our power. You understand what I'm saying? We have to trust in him and believe in him and know that when we set up something in his name, you understand, that he's going to take care of it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Again, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear what you have to say. The lines are open. Area code 404. Your mic is still open. We have quite a few people on the line. We're interested in hearing what you have to say, so please push 1. We want to hear. You know, I really am looking for some black artists. I want a black artist that would be willing to paint me some black art on a canvas. That is what I'm looking for.
Yeah. You know, I'm gonna stretch this. I'm gonna stretch this out a little bit further. You understand? When we talking about we love the Almighty, and then we say, "Oh well, they gonna do this and that and the other." That's faintness of heart. Anytime we have faintness of heart, we lose the protection of the Almighty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if anybody has an artist that would be willing to paint on a canvas or something for me, please have them email me at yainayisrael@gmail.com. I am looking for some people that would be willing to do that, because my solution to the problem is we have to take our own commerce back, and we have to be able to let our own people pay into what we're doing and create our own dollars so we can do what we need to do. And then we can put a program together. I have a program for the prison system myself, Brother Donnie. I used to go in it and preach and everything. I have a whole different concept. I've seen it from the inside. So, you know, it's a lot of things that need to be done that we can do, and we can put it together. And I think it's a beautiful idea.
That's correct. That is correct. You're absolutely right. That's part of it. You understand? We got to let them folks know that they have some hope. There is some hope for them. They ain't got come out of the penitentiary and go right back to doing what they've been doing. You understand? We got to give them some hope. You understand? They looking for it, man. Why do you think them guys running around with their pants dragging across their keisters? You understand? That must be the most uncomfortable thing in this world. You understand? That's them looking for some help, man. They don't have no hope, man. They don't have no education. You understand? They don't have no physical understanding about no creator, you understand, because they don't believe in JC anymore. Them churches is falling off on participation. You understand what I'm saying? And these kids, man, you know, they looking for some help, man. We the only help that they got. You understand? So that's part of it, you understand? Going in there and speaking and showing them, listen, here's the story, blah, 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 you understand? And when you come out, man, we want you to hook up with this program, man, so we can show you how to live, change your perspective on living. Hallelujah.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a lot of work to be done. It's a few folks that's willing to work. The other people are sitting back and waiting on y'all.
Well, you know what's going to happen here. See, is once we show them some accomplishments, man, it'll be you know, people will want to come and help. They will want to. They will want to be involved. You understand? You know, we just got to show them that there's a solution to this here, and we got to work on a solution. And it's going to take us to wearing four or five different hats. You understand? I ain't no artist, man, but I throw some stuff on some paint. But I'm saying, you know, we just got to try to wear a whole lot of different hats, man, until we can get some people put in place. That's all that is. You understand what I'm saying? Now, like I said, you understand, the Almighty will give us the time that we need. It's just that we can't waste that time that he give us.
I agree with you.
You understand? You know, I mean, and it's going to take us talking about this here, you know, and as the accomplishments become evident, you understand, become in place, you understand, we talk about, yeah, we did this, and guess what happened? The Almighty showed favor, and now we got this going on. Oh, man, I'm telling you, boy, I believe in the Almighty. It's just that we got to show him that we want to come back to him, and we want to go back home. You understand? I'm going to stop saying about the remnant. I'm going to leave that alone. You understand? I'm going to work on who? I'm going to work on me. I'm going to be a part of the remnant if I possibly can. All I want to do is have a place that my kids will carry my name into the generations after generation. Hallelujah.
Hopefully we'll make it to the promised land. Hopefully our generation will be instrumental in helping those that are trying to understand who they are, come together in unity so we can build a unified front together, and we'll be able to help each other do that. Hopefully we can get a few folks that will be willing to do that, and it'll catch on the way it needs to catch on so that we can be the people that he called us to be, because one thing that Yah is he is love. Mm-hmm. He don't play.
Yep.
Now, he a man of war.
He'll
take you, do you out hand, but he has compassion. Anytime he speaks a curse over a people, and the people have been here for 400 years, and he loved us enough not to do make an end of us, that he provided for us while we was yet in the curse. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He is about love, and we have to learn how to have that same love and compassion toward him so that we can move in the direction that we're supposed to move in. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to know that you and I can come together on this radio in spite of our belief differences, and compel our people to start coming together to show love toward one another. Because my money the same color everybody else's money is green. And you're going to need it. So instead of me giving it to some people that I don't know, that's not my family, why not give it to my family, your family that's out there working? If you're going to school to learn how to do something, or you know how to do something very well, a carpenter or whatever you know how to do, let somebody know what you know how to do so we can pay you.
That is correct. That is correct. You understand? You know, you might be able to be one of the great entrepreneurs in Israel. You understand?
That's right.
Remember now, who was that? That was Bezalel or somebody that was that was a master carpenter in ancient times, that around David's time, that helped to put together the temple, that was in Solomon's time, when they overlaid the stuff with gold and silver and all of that. You understand what I'm saying? You never can tell where you might be at, you understand, with your skill. You understand? Whatever your skill is, you understand, the Almighty might give you the opportunity to do something great in Israel. You never can tell, but you got to stand up.
You got to stand up. Without that, we can't do anything. But the beautiful part, he's always used people of talents to do that. When we had the temple and we were in the wilderness, it wasn't the angels that put that together. He told them who to go get. Go get so-and-so because he a silversmith and he know how to do this. Go get this one because they know how to do tapestry. Go get this one because they know how to do this. Everybody came together and did what we know we needed to do as a nation.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. You understand? That is absolutely correct. The Almighty has a power that he could poof and it was already done. But no, we did it.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? So we got to understand that things get done because we do things, and he bless our hand in our endeavors. That's what he does. You understand? He makes it possible. You understand? He manifests and he protects us in our doings. Remember now, Ezra, when he went back to build the temple, they talked against him, but they couldn't do nothing with him until we started going astray. That's what happened.
That's right.
They couldn't do a thing to a man while he was building that temple. Or you understand what I'm saying? But when we started going after other gods again, that's when they fell on us. Because we had that faintness of heart.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You know, we had to trust in the Almighty, man. I mean, with all our hearts and all our souls. We got to feel it in our bones that the Almighty is with us. And then we can, and any endeavor that we take on in the name of the Almighty in righteousness. Now, we can't do nothing, you understand, all of that old slimy stuff. We got to do it in righteousness. We can't do nothing in slime with that slime dripping off us.
That's the truth. And how many men and women can stand up and say that?
We got some people that I'm going to tell you the honest to God truth. We got some people that want to do something, but they just don't know what to do. We got some people that are righteousness in Israel, but they just don't know what to do. They're scared to death.
Tell them to email me. We got plenty of work to do.
You know what? What happened is they involved themselves early on in their endeavors. The leaders led them astray. You understand what I'm saying? So they become a little fretful in trying to involve themselves with Israel. You understand? Because our leaders led them astray. Now here's my take on it. We don't depend on no leaders. We depend on the common person to make a move now. That's what we need.
People are the leaders, and I can understand that.
Some people are not the leaders. The leaders, you understand, is sitting back, you understand, talking about, man, you hear that nigga on there? that's who the leaders are talking about. Talking about you and me and we're talking against them.
You're not asking for no money. Let them show us
something different. Show me something different then. You understand? Don't tell me, you understand, that you've been doing all this righteousness, because we would be in better shape than we are now today if our leaders stepped up. The common person is the guy that got to step up now. You understand? The ones that are sitting, that come to church, that come to the services and bring their tithe, so to speak, or their free will offerings, and they don't see a damn thing being done. You understand? Except for the leader come there with some new jewelry or a new component. Come on, man. You understand? Here's what I haven't yet to see. Them getting some paperwork saying what the tithes been spent on. You understand? A monthly printout on what the tithes been spent on. You understand? Or they have the chief men come around to the peoples that need the help. You understand? To see if they eating every day, or the elders got their medication, or the children need some help or something like that. Man, come on, man. You understand? There's a lot of things that I've seen that they never did when I was involved.
And whose fault? That's the people's fault. Because guess what? I'm not giving you my money and I don't see no return on it. I don't care who you are. Period.
Yeah.
So that's the people's
fault. You know,
it ain't no different than the pastors of L.A., the reality show they got out now that everybody mad because these pastors is on TV flaunting their stuff. And my response to that is, you paid them. Y'all gave them the money.
Yeah. Well, see, you know what happens is, man, see, we are spiritual folks. You understand? And
yeah.
we be blinded by what the people say out their mouth. You understand what I'm saying? And we think that we don't have any anything that we could do, most of it. Because I'm telling you, man, you know, I put forth my money, you understand, into services, man, and I didn't see a daggone thing, man. You understand? For a long time. I did that for 7 years. I sat up under what's name, and I didn't see them do anything. You understand what I'm saying? So I, you know, and that was because of the spirit. You understand? Because I'm a spiritual person, and I believed in the Almighty, and see, they have a way of being able to sleight of hand. They make you think you're getting something, and you wasn't getting nothing.
Exactly. So guess what? What's wrong with one of us with enough money to buy a 20-unit apartment building? Because this is realistic stuff. Buy a 20-unit apartment building, turn it into an elderly building, and charge you 30% of your income. That's what low-income housing is anyway.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that at all, period. Nothing wrong with
that
at all.
But wait,
you
let me ask you this question. Why is it that people are going to these camps and they're not doing anything like that? What is the purpose of going to these camps and being isolated and all you're doing is celebrating the holy day, the high holy day?
Yeah, and that's it. You understand what
and
I'm saying?
What?
So
it's
these are the things these are the things that could be done, you understand, without the leaders, so-called, quote-unquote leaders. You understand what I'm saying? We can do this on our own. Put together our own little committee, you understand, and put together these buildings, you understand, and do, like you said, open up a senior citizen place, you understand, and charge that 30% or whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying? But, you know, see, here's the thing is, you understand, we got to start somewhere. And I said baby steps. But, you know, if we start with the little things and get just putting them in place, you understand what I'm saying, and be dedicated to making that work, you understand, the Almighty will bless our hand. I don't have no doubt in my mind that the Almighty won't watch over us and guide us and put us and make it work. You understand? Because he is about us establishing us as Israel. He said, gather ourselves. So we got to try to gather ourselves the best way we possibly can. Start at a little bit, doing little things. You understand? You know, here's the thing. You said you had a prison ministry. Start doing the prison ministry, you understand what I'm saying? While you doing the prison ministry, you understand, we're setting up the program so that when they come out of that penitentiary, you understand, they can go right into a training program, you understand, on-the-job training, you understand? I believe that, you understand, most of us catch on by on-the-job, hands-on. You understand? We'll catch on, you understand? And we'll teach them, brothers, the way to be an entrepreneur. You understand what I'm saying? And I honestly believe that we can get that money from them, from the federal government, and use it the way we need to use it in the name of Yah. You understand?
Sounds like
I
said, sounds like a plan to me.
You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, I mean, I know, you understand, that we saying, oh, I don't want to use the federal government money, man, but that money is our money. We put our taxes and everything, paid for everything that they got in, you know, everything that they took out of our paycheck is ours. We want it back. We want to put it in this way. You understand? And if we trust in the Almighty, he'll make it happen. You understand what I'm saying? I just need, here's what I need. I need somebody to help me set it up. You understand what I'm saying? I will go down there. I went to John Lewis's office, man, with my little petition and my little program. You understand? And I didn't get a chance to speak to John Lewis. I spoke to a couple of his aides, and they talking about, well, I made mention that those brothers, all the brothers in them in the penitentiaries, are not criminals. They say, oh, yes, they are. So I knew right then they wasn't going to give me no help, period. You know what I'm saying? Because they felt like, and these were black folks that I was talking to. You know what I'm saying? So I knew that they was not going to give me no help because they feel like we criminals. You understand? Here we've been brought over here as captive folk. You understand? Put in this position. We was put in this position here. You understand? They see the Almighty gave us as bondmen and bondmen and women. You understand? But they put that chattel slavery on us. You understand? So we was over here. So they did all of this here to us and expect us nothing to happen. Come on, you understand? Something bad to happen at some point.
Hold on, we got somebody on the line. 352, huh? Go ahead. Echo 352. Hello.
Can you?
You breaking up, but we can hear you. I heard one word. Hello, we can't hear you. I don't know what's going on with our phone. Unless they messing with our phone,
hello.
I really can't.
Yes,
ma'am.
Hello,
we can hear you now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I was listening to what you were saying, and I'm just going to tell you my opinion. My opinion is this. A lot of times, Israel don't want to get involved in things when it comes down to money because we have set in temples, we have dropped in our tithe money, they have taken our tithe money and did exactly what they wanted to do with it. They don't help the poor, they don't help the children, they keep the tithe money. Most of the rabbis, Morays, Cohens, is driving nice cars, got nice clothes on, and most of the people in their congregation have very little. When I was young, we used to take the train to Brooklyn, and the rabbi had a Cadillac sitting outside the temple. And so Israel has been going through that for years and years and years. So they don't trust each other like maybe we should if we didn't go through that. But if you're sitting in the temple and you're constantly talking about the Most High and you're constantly talking about how we got to do better and be better, and then people put in their money and they see absolutely nothing back from their money, after a while you stop trusting people. So when you get on the air and you ask for money, the first thing people are thinking, oh, here we go again. You know, nobody wants to say that. You know, once you've been burned, you don't really want to be burned again. And you on the air, we all know you, so how do we know you're going to do with the money, what you say you're going to do with the money? Because I went to quite a few temples, and I put in a whole bunch of tithe money at each temple. And every temple I went to, not one temple did I go to that I ever hear the rabbi stand up and say, does anybody need help? When the people that go to the temple get old, yeah, the rabbi will go see them in the hospital, but he expects you to give them a few dollars for coming to the hospital. In the Israelite community, there's nothing that's free except for you freely giving your tithe. Other than that, there's no kickback to the community who gives their tithe. So after a while, like I said, you get sick of that. And so once you get sick of it, you really don't want to hear these stories because everybody got a story. You know, it's like, prove to me you're really going to do something. I was on the line when you were talking about getting the line for the women that's being raped and molested. I never once, and I've been on this line every week, I never once heard you come back and say, do you need? I need volunteers, because I would have certainly volunteered. You know, Israel.
I did ask for volunteers. I don't know whether you were on there that day or not, but I did ask for volunteers. We did get the 1-800 number together, but guess what? Nobody wanted to pay the money, like you said, the continual money to be able to keep the line going every month because it was an 800 number. Now, what I will say is this. I understand being burned because I feel the same way about the church. I gave thousands and thousands upon thousands of dollars and never saw a return. Didn't expect to see a return on it and wouldn't have cared one way or the other had I not come to the realization that I had been lied to. But what we're talking about doing, it's not about putting money in any one person's hand. Let's use the bereavement for instance, for a moment. The bereavement program has nothing to do with money. All we're talking about doing is organizing a system where if something happens to you, God forbid, and your children need money to put you in the ground, that they will be able to contact the Nation of Yehuda, say, this is where my mom is being buried at. We need dollars to help us. Can you send money to the funeral home? And then we send the emails out to the community for the community to send the money to the funeral home. No money has to come to us at all, because I really don't need anybody's money. You know, I'm not one of these those people that have to have other people's money to do what I'm going to do, because I have my own money. But I'm just saying, as a nation, we got to come together and start doing something that costs no money at all whatsoever. But you know what, sis? We can't even get people to donate their time. And I'm
okay, let me try to address this here.
One person, we can't even get 12 people on this line to say, okay, I got one day free out of the week. I can donate 4 hours. What do you need us to do?
Okay, let me try to address some of these that issue. You understand?
Wait a minute, Brother Donia. We're not talking about money. We're just talking about the coming together to donate.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. But I understand where she's coming from, because I was burnt the same way. You understand? Because I used to go. I was involved with a congregation, and I gave up my money. You understand? But here's the thing: we can be in control of our own money. You understand? We set up a payment plan that goes directly to the bank. Your name is on that payment plan. You have a desired vote on how that money is going to be spent. You understand what I'm saying? So that no one individual has involvement with any money. You understand? You don't even have involvement with the money that you sent. We have a collective a body of folks that put money in this thing. That's the people that vote on how that money is to be spent. You understand? So we can do this. You understand? We don't have to wait on no congregation head body person, you understand, to make a decision on what we do. You understand? We are the people that could do this on our own. We don't need no whole lot of people. That's why I keep telling everybody, we don't need no king. We need to be doing these things on our own. We need to set up these things, because, see, once we put the responsibility in somebody else's hands, that relinquishes us from our own responsibilities. We don't want to do nothing, you understand? So we put it in somebody else's hands for them to do it. So if it goes wrong, we're not held accountable for that. You understand? We need to be accountable for our own stuff. You understand? We put this together, you understand? We are responsible for how that money is to be spent. Hallelujah.
And I agree with him, and I agree with you, sis. I mean, I can understand being burned. I spent thousands of dollars. If I could only tell you how much money went through my fingers a month. I used to pay tithes of $5,000 a month. Okay, so that wasn't no big deal. I mean, when you talk about business owners that make thousands and thousands and thousands upon thousands of dollars, that was not a big deal. And didn't mind paying it because I felt like I was doing the work of the Lord. But then you find out you've been lied to, then all of that just, I understand how you feel. That's why we try not to make it be about money. We want people to donate their time. And if you trust enough, like he said, we can create a committee. We can have a PayPal account that's strictly committed to the bereavement fund. Have certain people over that account, and then as the money comes in, somebody else can verify that it's leaving and it's going out. It's a lot of ways to protect everybody from getting burned, but we got to start doing something.
That is correct. And see, the people that we the one that put people in place to watch over the money. You understand? We elect certain people out of the people that put that money in. You understand? And they do it for a period of time, then we elect two more people. You understand what I'm saying? And we always leave it open where they can be kicked out if they mess up. You understand? So we the ones that got to do this. You understand? We can't depend on nobody else, man. You understand? When we can do it ourselves. Hallelujah.
And as cheap as real estate is now, oh, my goodness. You know how many apartment buildings we got here in these cities that's abandoned? That if we had a brother that knew how to do construction work and a painter, that we could come in and pay those people and get those buildings up and give Israel somewhere to live where we have our own low-income housing. These are the things that, like I said, whether we're in the curse or out of the curse, These are things we can still do for ourselves that we can do as a nation, because we're doing it anyway as individuals. Mm-hmm. We're doing it anyway. We're just doing it for other people.
That is correct.
For ourselves.
We need to start doing something for ourselves, man. We need, see, once we start getting accomplishments, man, you understand, then we can feel some hope. You understand? But if we don't do nothing, we ain't going to never get no accomplishments. And we ain't going to never have no hope.
If we have an apartment building that's generating income that's coming in, then that pays into the pot. And then that's more money we got coming into the pot. And then it just keeps building and building. And then guess what? When you call and say, hey, I need some money for my rent. I've been in the hospital. I've been sick. I ain't had no mm-hmm. money to pay my bills. We can peel you off $400 or $500 and send it to you so you'll have what you need. That's all we're trying to do. But we can't get nobody to do it. And it's probably, like you said, because they've been burned. And when people are burned, they don't trust. They just don't trust.
That is correct. You understand? That is correct. You understand?
You really can't blame them for not trusting, because, no. like I said, a lot of times these people have been walking into synagogues, temples, camps for years and years and years, dropping in their money, and have seen nothing. I'll give you a perfect example, and I'll make it short. The temple, when I lived in the Bronx, I went to a temple. Every week I would go there, I'd drop in $150 every week, because I made a lot of money when I was in New York. I was going to the temple, at that temple, about 4 years. So this happened after 4 years. I'm standing outside. I smoke. It's, the sun is down. I'm smoking a cigarette. The women are talking. This pregnant woman walks up with a little girl. She says, where's the preacher here? Can you tell me where the preacher is? So one of the women said he's inside. So she goes into the temple, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I happened to walk in and back of her. She goes up to what we would call a moray at the temple. And she says to him, she just got put out of her apartment that Friday. This is Sabbath night. That Friday, and it's daytime. She don't have nowhere to go. Could he possibly help her? I stood there and watched him. He went in his pocket, pulled out a handful of change, and handed to this pregnant Israelite woman and her little girl. She goes to walk off. So she's looking at the change, and he's saying to her, that's the best I could do. They sitting there counting the collection for Sabbath. She walked outside. I walk outside behind her. So when she gets a little further from the temple, I stop her. So I said, I don't have much money, but here's $20, you know, it should get you something, some food or something. So she's like, thank you, and she's hugging me. And she's, so I'm asking her, where are you going to spend the night at? And she's like, I don't even know. It's a hotel next to the temple. I take her up in that hotel, drop my credit card, and pay for a week's worth of room for her. Walk back. When I turn around, I see one of the Morays standing in back of me in the hotel. So when I walk back out and downstairs, the other one is downstairs. It was two of them. So they say to me, why would you give her money? Why would you pay for a hotel for her? You know, how you know she ain't a crackhead? I don't care if she's a crackhead. She got a little girl with her, and she's pregnant. And if she's lying to me, then that's between her and the Most High. The next week when I went to the temple, I didn't put a dime in. When the service was over, one of them walked up to me and said, did you need an envelope? I said, no, I don't need an envelope. He's like, well, is there something the matter? I'm not giving y'all one dime, not one dime anymore ever, because I see how y'all do with the money. He stands there and says,
I don't blame you not one bit.
Stealing from the Most High. I said, then the Most High will deal with me.
I don't play those games, because guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to manipulate me into doing nothing. I don't play those games. I'll commend you 100% with what you did, giving her that money. But you know what? I'd have did it right in front of him, because I'd have made him feel real stupid. Because you ain't going to tell me you a man of the Most High and that don't touch your heart. And all I can say is from that point, I would have realized you following the wrong person.
No, what I realized was that I was going to the wrong temple, because everything he said, everybody went along with. Not even 3 weeks later after this happened, they had Passover. I didn't go to a Passover because I was sick of them. So I went to another temple. My friend calls me up like Passover night when Passover's over, and she's like, you ain't going to believe what happened. I'm like, what? She's like, they was lighting, you know, after you eat the lamb and everything, burn the bones. and they put some gasoline on the bones, and his car was right down the street from here, and the fire lit the bones, went right down to his car, and blew his car up with all his money in. his car was his money. And
yeah,
that
I know
that's right. To a crisp. And everybody's standing around in the temple with, oh, woe his car, woe his car. But when he sent that pregnant woman away with that little girl, nobody opened their mouth, nobody gave her nothing. And then, you know, you really, it's a million of these stories. You really wonder. When you've been through these rabbis and these Cohens and these Morays and they playing games and all they do is collect their money and don't give nothing back ever, I haven't needed anybody to pay any of my bills, total yacht. But what about the woman or the man that does? They have no love for them. They have love for collecting the tithe or the free will offering or whatever you want to call it. And they kick back nothing to the real people that really need help. And they call themselves men and women of God or men and women of God.
Mm.
They
yep.
are bad as the preachers. They worse than
it
the preachers.
It sounds like the church to me. I mean, for real. It do it sound like. But guess what? The people are in control of that. That's why I said we're trying to fix it where one person don't have to have no money. If we fix this bereavement thing, I'm just on the bereavement thing. We can get this bereavement committee going on where people can say, hey, I'll help. I'll be a part of the committee. Let us put something together. And then send the information around to everybody. Would you be willing to do it? Are you interested in doing it? I guarantee you that the response would be minimal because of what you just said. But at some point, you got to say, okay, that was then, and this is now. Because if I felt like that, believe me, I pay for this radio show every month. It costs me $40 every month to pay for this radio show. Nobody helps me. Nobody helps me. Nobody goes in half on it with me. It comes out of my own pocket. But I do it because I have a love for the people, and it's what we need to do to keep this thing going. So you got to, if I thought about the way the church acted and the way they treated me, I wouldn't have spent out of my money either. So at some point, you gotta shake it off, and you just got to keep it moving with the people that are doing positive things where you can see the results.
That's what I was saying, that, see, we can, you know, we as the common person can be responsible for everything that we do, you understand? We can set it up, you understand, where we elect people that have contributed their money towards the thing, and they're doing it on a monthly basis to run the show. When we come up, when at the end of the year we decide that we're going to spend the money on real estate, then we as the people that invested in this is the ones that have the vote on how we spend the money. You understand what I'm saying? And we don't want nobody that's going to give up $25 so that he can take he or she could take be the head, the leader. Everybody sends $5, everybody is responsible. You understand? If the guy that sent $25, he's doing that on his own. He don't get no more prestige in this thing than the $5 person. You understand? This is where we need to be at.
Right. And then guess what? While we're yet putting it together, if we can build a chamber, when we get ready to buy the apartment building, we can find a Hebrew Israelite that's the agent that can find the building for us. And then once we buy the building and pay cash for it, then we can find the Hebrew Israelite that's the carpenter and the construction worker and pay him to fix the building up, and the Hebrew Israelite plumber and an electrician and all that stuff. That's what the chamber is about, is bringing all of the resources that we have as a nation, because the only resource that we have as a nation in this captivity is our physical bodies and the things that we know how to do. And what America is about, free commerce. So if we can put together a chamber of commerce where all these people can bring their talent together, well, you know what me and my sister decided we was going to do, and we haven't done it yet? We were going to go into projects, because I used to live in the projects. I don't now, but I did. I've done all that. I've been on welfare, did the whole nine yards, so I'd have been through every phase of it. Go into projects and get some of the young women together, and then allow and do some interior design in their houses and show them how to put interior design together, you know, show them how to put panty swatches together, furniture together, because around the first of the year at income tax is when these girls have all this money and they want to spend that money on themselves. And that's something that we decided to do, that we're putting in process to be able to do, to show them that just because that's where you live, that's not a bad place. But we got to have willing people that enjoy interior design, that love to do that kind of stuff. If we don't know you out there, we can't use you. If we don't know you out there, we can't pay you. So it's not, we're just trying to find out who's out there and what is it that you do. And again, if you have a talent and you want to be a part of this, email us at yaenayisrael@gmail.com. It's spelled yaenayisrael@gmail.com. Because we need to start putting it together. Anybody that makes tassels, because I make them very well. But I mean, I don't want to be the only one doing everything. I know a lady that sells them for $4. Whatever you do, we need to know what it is you do. Because if you don't, and that's not asking for any money. Because we're trying to give money out.
Hallelujah.
We're paying the other people to do it for us. Let's pay each other.
Yep.
So that's all we're saying, you know, because I'm not a Kohen. I'm not a Moray. I'm not trying to do all that. I don't want, you know what, even when I was in church, I used to tell the Lord all the time, I don't want nobody's money because when I get my money, I want my own money. I don't want to have to build nothing and nobody say, you only got that because we gave it to you. No, sir. I want my own mind working. When I'm at the top of my game, I'm at the top of my game. And I do what I need to do to get my money. So I don't mind working. I don't have no problem doing that. I have a degree. I have 3 degrees. I can do a whole lot of stuff when it comes to business. So my thing is I'm just trying to bring my talents that I paid for, because I paid money to go to their schools to get their education. I'm trying to bring it back to our nation so we can start making money among ourselves. That's it.
Hallelujah.
That's it. So, you know, sis, if you want to help us, if you're willing to help us, I need some help putting that bereavement program together. Will you help us do that?
Well, see, I really wouldn't have a problem helping you do that, except for we have a difference of an agreement because we both see the Lord differently. So what might be okay with you might not be okay with me. Because we don't see the law the same way. Because I'm an Israelite. I'm not a messianic. I'm an Israelite, period. And so because we look at the law differently, that's why I haven't really got involved in any of these things, because we look at the law differently. So where you might see something, you might see it okay to do something, me looking at it according to law, it might not be okay to do it. So that's
okay,
why
so where is our difference when... I'm glad you brought this up. Where's our difference? He calls and says, my mama died, and she's a Hebrew Israelite, and we need somebody to help with the funeral. Well, and then you say, well, we can't pay for it all, but we'll be able to help with something. Okay, and then
okay,
the young girl.
Okay, I'll tell you the difference.
Huh?
Okay, I'll tell you the difference. I'll tell you the difference. Now, you can say somebody called up. They need some help with a funeral. And so you say, okay, where you at, who died, so and so and so. And then at the end of the day, the people are messianic, so they want to bring a messianic preacher into the air, and he want to pray to JC. I ain't down with that under no circumstances. You can't get one nickel of my money for that. Not at all. That's the difference. Now, that might be
okay, well, then you know what? We appreciate what you're doing, and you won't be able to help us, but we appreciate you being a part of the class because that's not what we're after. You know, because one thing about it is, like I said, beliefs can be changed, but bloodline is forever. And because you pray to Yah and only Yah, I don't have a problem giving you my money. And it doesn't have anything to do with what you believe. If you need some help and we need to feed you or you need to be put in the ground, that's between you and the Most High, what you pray and how you get there. me judging you as to whether or not you believe the way I believe, that's not my call to do that. But we do appreciate you coming on the show, and you wouldn't be able to be a part of what we're doing because we're promoting unity. So we thank you so much for all of your help, but you won't be the one that we'll call because we need the person that can say we're going to put aside our differences, and if they hungry and they need something to eat, we're going to do it for. So I appreciate you being honest and with what you do, but that's the kind of stuff that we're going to stay away from because we got to have unity in this thing. And if I choose to pray to Yahushua HaMashiach, and I believe in Yahushua HaMashiach, when I leave this earth, your $90 ain't going to make a difference one way or the other. We need people that's willing to roll up their sleeves and come to work. So, again, if you're willing to put your differences aside and you're willing to come together and work together as a nation, we want you 100%. But if you're not willing to do that and you're going to be hung up on what you believe, we can't work with you. We're not going to be
shalom,
able to do
that. Shalom, shalom. I agree with you, Yaina, and you know that I'm a Torah base, you understand? But
that's
I believe in unity, you understand? And I believe at some point in time it'll all be straightened out. But we need help now. We don't need help later on, and I can't let my differences come between my son or my daughter being buried, or my son and my daughter having a problem, or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? If you can help, I sure need to help. You understand? We have to understand that when we came here and we put our foots on this particular land, we didn't know nothing about no Yah at all. Period. You understand? We grabbed hold on to Christianity, Buddhism, Muslim. You understand? Everything that we could do to stop that chain whip beaten, maimed, and murdered. You understand? So we under a whole lot of different doctrines here. But that's, you know, why should that stop us from helping a brother or sisters that's suffering the same slave we stuff? You understand?
Right.
Why should that stop us, man? You understand? We need $90, so that brothers and sisters that's a messianic ain't going to give up the $90 that's going to keep us from burying that brother. I'm lost there.
That's the kind of stuff right there I'm talking about, because the same young lady that you said was pregnant with the little girl that you helped, you didn't know whether she was messianic or non-messianic either. She just needed some help. So if you and I still love you, sis. We always bump heads. I'm always love you, regardless of what happened. If you need me, I'm always be there. Don't make me no difference. But we got to get past that point because that's the group. If that certain group want to stay in that group, y'all have at it. We appreciate it. We'll see you. But we're moving forward, and we're gonna try to do what we need to do to help each other because we gotta eat at the end of the day.
That is correct.
At the end of the day, we got to eat. And that's just all it is. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we're trying to get together on the bereavement fund. We don't care whether you messianic or non-messianic, because to have a dead body laying in your house and the funeral home come to get it, and they looking at you like, okay, where we going? And you don't have a dime, a dollar to put toward nothing, that body has to have, you have to put that body somewhere. And at that point, it doesn't matter what you believe. You need dollars. Real talk. You need some dollars to make that happen. And everybody don't have it all the time, and everybody needs help sometimes. And when you go to those white people, whether you go to St. Francis of Assisi's here or the Red Cross, or the Salvation Army, they don't ask you about whether you're messianic or non-messianic. They ask you, how much do you need, and this is how much we can give you, period.
That is,
and we got to be the same way. Because guess what? Once we get up and rolling, the powers that be is going to challenge us, and when they send that white girl to us and she needs some help, guess what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to help her, too. So you might well just get ready, because it's going to be, as long as we in this land, it's going to have to be an equal opportunity for everybody. So that's why we got to get away from all that, because we can't let that be the determining factor. It just can't be. Can't be it.
Yeah.
Don't you agree, Brother Donnie?
I agree wholeheartedly, you understand, because when we got here, you understand, we was all black. understand? We was all slaves, all of us, you understand? We didn't have no understanding about no Messianic or Torah, you understand? And if we did, it didn't make no difference. We went into slavery.
Everybody was punished. Everybody was punished. Whether you African or whether you think you Egyptian or whether you think you Muslim, we all suffering the same punishment under the same curse.
That is correct.
We need to learn how to put that to the side. Who I choose to pray to at my funeral has nothing to do with nothing. Who they choose to pray to at your funeral has nothing to do with nothing. At the end of the day, you still need that funeral director there cranking you down in that box. And that costs money. And it's not cheap.
Yeah. Yep. So, you know, eventually, you understand, we're going to all be on the same page. It's just that right now, we need to help one another, you understand, so that we can get to that point. You understand? Right now, we need to help from everybody. You understand? And they can be black nationalists. Or anybody, you understand, that need the help, we want to be able to help them. That's what we want to do. Because all of us, man, suffered the same slavery circumstances and situation, you understand, until we started, until we made a difference of, it's just that we got to start coming together, man. You understand, I start stumbling over myself. When I talk
that's
too
what,
long.
You know what? When I see the homeless man on the street and they asking for money, whether they black or white, I give it to them. When I see them standing on the corner with the sign saying, I haven't eaten today, I'm hungry, whether they take it for beer, wine, or whatever, if I have money in my pocket, I give it to them. Because there's no discrimination when it comes to hunger.
Yeah. Yep.
And if I seen a white girl on the street with three babies and she was in the cold and they didn't have nowhere to go, I'd pay for her to have a hotel room too. I'm just going to tell you the truth because I don't have that kind of a heart. I'm not doing that. I'm not a vicious person or a mean person, you know, because whatever happens at the end of the day, the word already spells out how the end going to be, and everybody's going to have their own punishment. But if I see some babies hungry, whether they white, black, green, or whatever, I'm going to feed them.
Okay. I feel you. I feel the same way. You understand? I'm telling you. Let me tell you this here. Me and my sister-in-law was coming home from me and my sister-in-law was coming home from grocery shopping, and the car stopped in the middle of the road, boy, and this was rush hour, you understand? And so the police came, and, man, he blocked the traffic, and he helped push the car to the side of the road. I hadn't shaken the white man's hand in 30 years, but I had to shake that man's hand. The Almighty sent that man to help me out of that situation. Because I didn't know what.
And it didn't matter what color he was, did it?
Huh?
At that point, it didn't matter what color he was, did it?
But it didn't. It didn't make no difference who it was. You understand? I needed some help, and the Almighty sent somebody. You understand? Because I showed what to do.
And my thing is this. If we can't show love to one another, how the other nations going to follow us?
Yeah. I hadn't shaken a white man's hand in 30 years. I had to shake his hand, man, and thank him. And it didn't make no difference who he was at that particular time. I needed help, man. This was rush hour, man. We was in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And the Almighty sent that white man to help me, man. I said, I hope you don't arrest me. You understand? Or anything, man, because they do that type of stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
But
he cared enough,
huh?
To make sure you got y'all out the middle of the street. So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's it, man. And, I mean, he stopped the traffic on both sides of the road. You understand? And he did the pushing to push the truck, to the side. Whew.
And that's what I'm. We got to change all this hatred stuff and all this. That's not our job. The Most High gonna work all that out. Our job is to love one another, and real love comes with condition.
You know what? We hate one another more than we hate the people that kept us captive. That's what it sounds like. Shit. We hate one another worse than we hate the people that kept us captive.
That's right. And they've done a beautiful job at making that happen. But we're here to put a change to it. So I just want to say to everybody again, if you're willing to put all your differences aside, if you're willing to come together for the good of the nation, if you're willing to want to roll up your sleeves and work and bring your talents to the table, email me. I want to be a part of it. I want to help. Email me. Let us know, because we want people that's willing to help. If you got hang-ups about Messianic and non-Messianic, we still going to love you. You just ain't ready yet. But the Most High going to get you ready, because we came as a nation, we leaving as a nation.
That is correct.
And on that note, if Brother Adonia, you got any last words?
I just want to tell everybody that I love them with all my heart and my soul, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Let's keep calling and keep coming up. We're gonna get it together, because Almighty said we was. Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hey, let me ask a question.
Like,
did you
know
anything about DeRocia?
I'm going to call you after the show, okay?
I appreciate it.
Right, shalom, shalom, everybody. See you later.
Shalom, shalom.
In hot down Mississippi, surrounded by four walls that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough for the city. His father works some days for 13 hours.
There you have it. Another edition of the Yehuda Project. This is Yaina Yisrael, and we want to say shalom, shalom, everybody. See you next week. We hope to see you soon. We had a lovely time, and we'll see you on next Sunday. Bye-bye.